This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. This day in sports history. It's April 9th, and on this day in 1989, a 2-foot putt turned into a nightmare at Augusta National. The 89 Masters Tournament started off with a bit of Scottish flavor and ended with some English flair for the dramatic, with a bit of Shakespearean tragedy thrown in. As Masters tradition goes, the year's previous winner plans the Champions Dinner, with all those who have won a green jacket invited to the festivities. With Scotsman Sandy Lyle the defending champ, he served haggis at Tuesday's dinner while wearing the traditional Scottish kilt. Whether Englishman Nick Faldo liked the haggis or not, it set the table for European flavor to come in a few days. But this tournament started out with a little south of the border spice as 49-year-old Lee Trevino played a bogey-free round and became the oldest player to ever lead after any round of the Masters. Trevino had not been a fan of Augusta National, or the Masters. After finishing up in 1969, Trevino was quoted as saying, "Don't talk to me about the Masters. I'm never going to play there again." The course didn't fit the shots that he liked to hit, and he also hinted that he wasn't comfortable there. When Trevino returned to the course in 72, he did not use the locker room at all, saying that if he had not qualified as a player, they wouldn't let him through the gates unless he was kitchen staff. Round 2 of the 89 version saw a lot of scores of even or over par. Trevino shot 2 over for the round and slipped into a tie for first with Faldo heading to the weekend. But the third round was unkind to the Merry Mex. Rain poured from the sky, making the golf course difficult until play was halted for a rain delay, then postponed altogether. The third round had to be completed on Sunday morning, with Trevino shooting an 81 and out of contention. Nick Faldo also did not fare well, signing for a 5-over 77, which put him 5 shots behind new leader Ben Crenshaw. Scott Hoke was 1 shot behind Crenshaw. So here we are now on Sunday the 9th. The final round stage was set for some dramatics. 6 different golfers would hold the lead at some point on the back 9. Faldo shucked off the issues he had in the third round and came out firing at pins, birdieing 4 holes to shoot 32 on the front side, putting him back in contention as he made the turn. He made another 4 birdies with a bogey at 11 as the only blemish on his scorecard to record a 7-under par 65, and he was the leader in the clubhouse at 5-under for the tournament. In the final pairing, Crenshaw and Hoke walked up the 18th tied at 5-under with Faldo. Hoke had a 25-foot putt for birdie that nearly went in, but he tapped in for par, setting up a playoff. Crenshaw had a 12-footer to join the playoff, but the 1984 Masters winner missed, leaving Hoke and Faldo to battle for the coveted green jacket. As darkness began to descend and fog rolled in, the pair headed to the par 4 10th for the first hole of the sudden-death playoff. Faldo's approach to the green was off the mark, and he landed in a greenside bunker. Hoke played a safe shot to 25 feet. Faldo hit a decent bunker shot, but he was left with 15 feet for par. Hoke now had a birdie putt to win, but it slipped past by 2 feet. Faldo's par putt to force a second playoff hole missed, tapping in for a bogey 5. Hoke now only needed to make this 2-foot putt, and the greatest trophy in golf was his. Standing over the putt, Hoke admitted years later that he had the thought, "I'm about to win the Masters." Now, knowing that was not the right thought he should have in his head at that moment, he backed off to get his mind straight and back in the right place again. As he stepped over the ball, he said he just lined it up wrong. He played it inside left, but he missed it more than a ball to the left, pushing it past the hole by 4 feet as the patrons gasped and groaned. He made the comebacker for the bogey, and they went to the 11th. Faldo had struggled with this hole all week. He made bogey all 4 rounds, but his approach to the green here in the sudden-death playoff landed 25 feet from the hole, while Hoke's shot strayed right. Hoke pitched to within 12, and as he eyed his par putt, Faldo made any more golf unnecessary as he buried his 25-footer for the birdie and the win. It was the first of Faldo's 3 Masters titles. Scott Hoke would never come that close to a major again. In an interview for an ESPN article in 2009, Hoke said, "That's the way things go. I had my chance. It wasn't a fluke. I lost. It was disappointing." In 1978, Gary Player won his 3rd Masters with an amazing Sunday finish. Player started the day 7 shots back of the leader but fired an 8-under 64, which included 7 birdies in the last 10 holes to win by a shot over 3 players. Player was 42 when he won on this day, making him the oldest golfer to win a green jacket, a record that would stand for another 8 years. Also on this day in 1978, it was the final day of the NBA regular season. David Thompson and George Gervin went head-to-head with each other, even though they were more than 900 miles apart. Thompson's Denver Nuggets were on the road at Detroit in the afternoon. Gervin's San Antonio Spurs were playing the New Orleans Jazz in the evening. They were both locked in a battle for the NBA scoring title, and with both teams' playoff futures locked in, both teams focused their efforts on getting their respective star the ball at every opportunity. Thompson scored an NBA record 32 points in the first quarter, which topped Wilt Chamberlain's 31 that he had in his historic 100-point game. Thompson had 53 at the half, added 20 in the final 24 minutes for a personal best 73 points. Now, at that point, he was only the 2nd human to score that many points in an NBA game, and it was tied for 3rd best on the single-game scoring list behind Wilt's 100-point game and his 78-point game. Now knowing that he needed 59 points to win the scoring title was an advantage for the Iceman George Gervin. His Spurs teammates fed him whenever they had a chance, and he scored 33 points in the first quarter, eclipsing the mark Thompson had set just hours before. He equaled David's 53 at the break. He played sparingly in the 3rd and 4th quarters, but added another 10 points to end the day with 63 and claim the scoring title by 0.07 of a point per game. Gervin averaged 27.22 over his 82 games that year, while Thompson averaged 27.15 over his 80. And in 1981, 20-year-old rookie LA Dodgers pitcher Fernando Valenzuela was handed the ball on opening day after Jerry Royce was scratched due to injury. Valenzuela pitched a complete game, giving up just 5 hits and shutting out the Houston Astros. Fernando had been brought up at the end of the 1980 season and pitched 17 2/3 innings. In 1981, after his opening day magic, Fernando mania began, and he did not disappoint. He won his first 8 starts. Looking skyward every time he started his windup, Valenzuela ended that season leading the league in strikeouts, shutouts, innings pitched, and complete games. He won the National League Rookie of the Year and the Cy Young that season, and it all started with his amazing performance on this day in 1981. And finally, here's today's non-sports fun fact. During medieval times, the kitchen staff used specially trained dogs to turn the meat on spits. That's all for today. I'll have more tomorrow on This Day in Sports History. This has been an original Thrive Suite production.
Hey there, Sports History fans. we've got some exciting news to share with you. Six of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast. No Nonsense Old School Weightlifting History is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote, cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all six of them. Again, every vote counts, and we gotta show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You got to go vote now. That's over at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote.